from the Tathagata's words.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Shinchi, would you mind getting my reading glasses for me? Thank you. We were just talking about how our eyes get when we get older. I won't be able to read this. Today is the first day in our new Zendo.
Yay!
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yes.
The last Saturday, Shinchu gave a wonderful Dharma talk on the kind of history and feeling of our old Zendo just down the hall, and how it was the result and the expression of our practice, and how grateful we were for those walls that sheltered us for 10 years, almost 10 years. So I thought I would talk a little bit about the feeling of this place and how we practice here. The first thing I want to say is that this space is the result of many beings' practices, many beings practicing together. Many people, but also many non-people, doing their bit to make this possible. So our practice, our intention, our support, every aspect of the space is filled with that. Every cushion, the floor, every piece of the floor that was clicked in, every detail was touched by all of you and all of the people that also are not here. Some people were able to take the time to come in and help fit the floorboards in and sweep and mop and tote and haul. And some people dropped by in the middle of their workday to see what it looked like. And some people were stuck up in Boulder Creek and with trees down in the road. And, you know, but it, whether you were here or not here, whether, you know, everybody is a part of this place. And everybody supported this, the emergence of this. Every single detail. People have donated time, they've donated money. It's what's so moving and amazing to me is how beautiful that is and how much an expression of our practice it is. What we're doing here is keeping this place alive and thriving as a place in which we express the Dharma together. It's a place of refuge. It's a place of learning. It's a place in which we come for guidance and support together, especially in challenging times. Yeah. It's like a touchstone, a beautiful touchstone that we return to, that we take refuge in, that we encourage one another. You know, when I realized that we weren't going to be doing bumper cars to rearrange this endo, I was kind of sad because it was fun to watch everybody kind of trying to work together as an organic whole. How do I move into the back room and get the chairs before the, you know, we couldn't move the chairs until we moved the bell, or we couldn't, you know, it's like, oh, okay, and they're seeing new people coming in and having to relate and learn and say, oh, is somebody standing by the side and not being included, or what are we doing? And that's a loss for us. You know, it's a loss not to have that experience of moving together. So we have to remember that, and we have to continue to create those environments. We don't have to like shrink the walls so that we bump into each other all the time, but that's our practice together. How do you get the chairs out of the back room without bumping into people, putting them into the wall, or tripping over things? You know, how do you do that? How do you come together and make this place alive with the voices and the bodies and the sounds and the smells and all of that together? So we sit in silence here. Silence is very important. It's a place in which we remember who we are. But we also laugh and we join together to create something that's alive and flexible and deeply grounded in the Soto way. Yeah. So I was looking through this book, kind of a real lovely book by Shohaku Okumura called Living by Vow. And Kim was reflecting on these quotes from Dogen Zenji. So Dogen says, you know, in his typically soft, kind voice, "Foolish people in this degenerate age should not be vainly engaged in the construction of temple buildings. The Buddhas and ancestors never had desires for buildings. Many people today meaninglessly construct a Buddha hall or other temple building, although they haven't yet clarified the eye of their own self. Such people build temples not in order to offer the buildings to the Buddhas, but to make them their own homes for fame and profit." So this is one way that it's possible to go, right? It's like, oh, we want to build this thing and, you know, name, fame, profit, and all that. That's foolish. On the other hand, underestimate what it means to have a place of refuge and solidity and community is also foolish. We make a priority in our lives. Everybody's busy. Everybody's got more things to do than they know what to do with, right time to do with, right? So how do we make this? We make this a priority. We tell ourselves something about who we are. We may think we're living in a degenerate age. Pretty much everybody always thinks they're living in a degenerate age, especially when we're faced with violence and racism, and we're faced with uncertainty and difficulty. It feels like it. It can feel like that. But when we create spaces such as this, we remember, oh yes, there is beauty, there is humanity, there is kindness, there is community. And we express the Dharma in that way. So last week when we left our old Zendo with deep gratitude, and Shinshu so beautifully described that, we carried that gratitude with us here. We continue that gratitude. Gratitude for the practice, gratitude for the teachings, for each other, for all beings. This is the heartbeat of our practice, this interdependence, this awareness of who we really are and all we're given in each moment. This inexhaustible gratitude for all that is, and the recognition of the dignity and the worth and the generosity of all beings. So we touch here, and we also know that our practice is totally portable. Dogen says, when we make a vow to found a temple, a sangha, a monastery, we should not be motivated by human sentiment, but we should strengthen our aspiration for the continuous practice of Buddha Dharma. Right? We embody our humanness, our foolishness, our needs, and our aspirations together in this place when we make a vow. If the buildings are just buildings, they're not alive with the Dharma. Each thing wants to express itself, right? So the cushion that you're sitting on, the chair that you're sitting on, isn't a chair or a cushion unless it's used, unless it comes to its own fruition. So this vow that we enact is the spirit of this place. Our new Zendo wants to be alive as a Zendo. It's like saying, come, come, sit, sit, talk to one another, study, please, make me a Zendo. I can't be a Zendo without you. When we do that, we allow the Zendo to give to us its being, its sustenance, its ability. And the world becomes itself. We're ordinary people. We're real people. We're just people. We're not anything else. And yet we have the capacity to make something truly beautiful together. And healing and sustaining and marvelous. This is the enactment of our vow. So we may not see the results of our vow, right? We can't see the impact that what we do has on people every day, right? You don't know when you're kind to someone if that makes their day or if they just don't even notice. But our hearts notice, our minds notice, we clarify, we get courage, we are invigorated. We're alive. This is humility, flexibility. Uchiyama Roshi said, the true mind of every sentient being itself teaches and leads each sentient being. This is the vow of the Buddha. Vow is not, vow is not a speculative process. It's not a speculative endeavor to something outside of ourselves. The true mind of sentient beings, that is, universal self, is itself vow. That's what we enact when we come here. And it's like Dogen Zenji says, he's talking about Gweishan, and he says, listen to the sound of the rain at midnight. The raindrops have power to pierce not only moss, but also rock. Okay, let me read that again. Listen to the sound of rain at midnight. The raindrops have power to pierce not only moss, but also rock. So we are the raindrops. You know, each action, each moment, each little time somebody came to put a click in on the boards, everything is one of those raindrops. And it has the power power to pierce not only moss but rock. And it's interesting, he says, listen to the rain at midnight, especially when it feels dark. Listen to the rain. We've had so much rain. Every raindrop. Every one. There's still work to be done on this room, this space, yeah? We might move the altar over there. We have to be flexible. That wall is going to get changed over there. The window's coming out. There's still really fine dust on the floor here. If you rub your finger against it, you can feel it. We're like that. There's always work to be done. This is a construction zone, kind of like our lives, right? Our lives are a construction zone. And we so want everything to be just right. We want it to be just right, perfect, right? And sometimes it is. And boy, can that fool us, right? Oh, God, finally, I'm there. Like when we moved in here, Shinchi said, this is our forever home. And we feel like that, right? But we don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going to happen. It's all under construction. So how do we have the flexibility of mind when we say, oh, I like that, I don't like that. I want that, I don't want that. Oh, it's so good right now. Ah. Next moment, it's gone. Or maybe it's better for a while. And that can really mess you up. But that flexibility, generosity, That feeling of being able to accept what is and move with a joyful heart in the midst of it, that's what we aim for, isn't it? Little raindrops. Shinran. Great Zen teacher Shinran, who was not, you know, you guys hear me talk about Shinran frequently, and he was not a Zen person. Shinran says, the Tathagata pervades the countless worlds and fills the hearts and minds of the ocean of all beings. The Tathagata pervades the countless worlds and fills the hearts and minds of the ocean of all beings. Coming to know that guides our actions. And when we, it's like Katagiri Roshi said, when you're faced with your human life and you see the difficulty, sometimes you need to sit down for a while. Right? So that's what we do. We come here, we sit down for a while. We encounter ourselves, we encounter each other, and then we go out, and then we come back, and then we go out. Many of us are going to go to the march this afternoon, the women's march, so-called women's march, although I think it's a people's march myself. But so how is that your zendo also? How is it when you go to work, your zendo also? How is this totally and completely portable practice alive when you're walking down the street, when you're at work, as we say in the grocery line? How is that alive? And yet, we cherish the time and place when we come and make prostrations before the Buddha, bow to and from our seat, make offerings of kind words to one another, encouragement. We come back here as a practice home. So I'd like us to consider that. Yesterday, when we moved the altar in here, we said this is also an inauguration day, you know? This is also that. I don't have much more to say this morning, actually. I want us to enjoy this space. Perhaps we'll have a perhaps we'll have a short little ceremony this morning. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have more of a grand event. Once we get that wall put up and place cleaned up a little bit, and we have tea functions and all that. We'll have a ceremony. But perhaps we can each come up after we have our question and answer period and just offer lavender buds to the Buddha in gratitude. You don't have to. Nobody's going to track it. But to say thank you. Thank you to the practice. Thank you to each other. Thank you to all beings for allowing us, supporting us, encouraging us to have a place such as this. Thank you. Questions? Comments? Mary Rosine had something up in Vallejo, and
also, what is it? Qigong mountain seed ceremony. Santa Cruz. We were there in Santa Cruz, and it was remodeled. Right?
Yeah. Oh, one of the things that we did that you should know about is that Shinshu and I came in before the floor was down and wrote the Heart Sutra on the floor in chalk. So this whole floor, you're sitting on the Bodhisattvas that chant under the earth. Well, they're chanting the Heart Sutra and it's like under your feet. We did a circumambulation around with incense and chanted and to kind of wake up the space. But we will kind of consult our various guides and come up with an appropriate opening ceremony.
Yes, we have books from the Soto Shu on official ceremonies for such activities. We just haven't gotten there yet. The writing the Heart Sutra on the floor is, we didn't think that up as a ritual that is from China and Japan, but I can't tell you the specifics of it, although if you guys saw that movie, what was it called? Spring, summer, fall? Mm-hmm. Remember they wrote the Heart Sutra, carved it with the cat's tail, and did the cat's tail, and that's something similar to that.
Two.
We had a ceremony in the onsen,
yeah,
when we first started there.
Yeah.
We also wrote the Heart Sutra on the
Well, as I was sitting here, I mean, one of the things that's for the first time, you know, most of the places I've gone to meditate are bigger than the old Zendo, and you always hear feet, you know, a certain pace of walking, and I heard it here this morning, just that tapping on the ground. Uh-huh. It's like, oh yeah, this is a real Zendo. It just brought back all the other times I've been to a Zendo, and actually, you know, there's always the walking steps going on, and I heard it like just back and forth, and there's enough room to do it and get a rhythm to it.
Yeah.
And so that was really that was great.
Just it was interesting.
Images up.
Mm-hmm. When I walked in to offer, I felt that I felt that bold feeling of having that distance to walk.
Yeah, you've got somewhere to go.
We're not just turning around.
The feeling in this Zendo is so peaceful and conducive to contemplation. It's, I think, the light that comes in, and if we turn this way, everybody has kind of you know, highlighted, and but in a very quiet, soft way. It's just right. It's absolutely right.
And we're going to work on the air conditioning too, that it doesn't make so much noise. We've already talked to Philip about that. So it was because it goes on, goes whoa, 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 whoa. I have all of these. But there's always something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always something. Yes, Vicki.
I just want to appreciate you and Chinchu for the dedication that you have to this community, to this Sangha, to the teaching, and to all the people who held in mind the possibility of having this space or another space that would work for us, and all the people that helped make it happen. And I really did feel, it was funny, because when I drove into the parking lot, I thought, oh, there are a lot of people that aren't going to be here today. I know people are going off to Sacramento or San Francisco or whatever. And so it was really wonderful to come in and see that the space was almost full. And so that was really a delight. And I also want to say about when that Zoom started this morning, my first thought was, oh. And then my second thought was like, oh, this is the sound in my belly when I'm really settled. Mm-hmm. And so every time it went back on, I just went into my belly. So I like this.
That's great.
It has that sonorous quality that's an archetypal sound to me. So.
Well, we can tape it for you.
Okay. We've got little earbuds.
No earbuds in the zen. No, we're not there yet. Just kidding. Yeah, you know, I didn't feel very fire and brimstone-y this morning. I felt kind of quiet, and feels kind of quiet. Mm-hmm. Not to mention I pooped from toting and hauling. Pulling up, you know, does everybody know that this was was disgusting carpet in here? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, so many, you know, we whipped it up, it was glued to the floor. Cut it with mat knives and rip it up. And they painted and just been lots.
So by next Saturday, we should have finished gotten rid of these glass windows. No, I think that's the end of it.
And then some doors need to be hung, and we're going to get a glass door for the front again.
We should have that too, next Saturday.
Decals and very
soon. Of course, we'll be doing Zazen during the week, so please come.
And then probably in 2 weeks, because I'll be gone next week, but in 2 weeks, we'll have two or three weeks, we'll have our ceremony, and then soon after that we'll have 10 years. We will have been around 10 years.
Wow.
So we'll have lots of parties, yes.
I wanted to comment on your talk this morning that the softness of it seemed to fit with coming into this new space and just kind of settling in a soft way rather than a fire and brimstone way. So the energy just kind of settled down and settled in.
Good.
So it was nice. Thank you.
There you go, Vicki.
Should see if you can install it in your house.
Any other questions or comments or thoughts? About vow, about carrying it out and nourishing it here.
Well, I haven't thought about that.
Huh?
I haven't thought about that.
Please.
I think a lot of our Soto practice is about vow. We make the vow to come to the Zendo. We make the vow to follow the schedule. So it's this way in which we enact our lives, as Jocko was saying, carrying that vow into the rest of our lives, daily lives. So I think, you know, that we just keep doing that. But don't you think, you know, that we keep that in mind, and that vow has to be personal. You have to have something about it that's about you. But in Soto Zen, we often just start out with, just do it. You know, just come. This is a very Zen thing, right? Not just Soto. Means, I'm sure, do just come. And that's that kind of almost imposed vow that grows on you and transforms you while you're not looking. Don't you think, Jocko,
I think it's two dimensions we can think of it. One is our particular, like you're saying. The other is that we are lived by vow.
We are what?
We are lived by vow. That it is a continuous practice of all beings that enacts us. So we make it very particular. I am going to do this. I will do that. I'm going to practice kindness. I'm going to sit zazen. I'm going to I take personal responsibility. I say, yes, I'm going to do this. But there's also the kind of, that's the forward dimension, the kind of backward dimension, so to speak, is that vow is the activity of the Buddha. You know, Buddha is activity. We enact our practice and are enacted by our practice. So there's something about vow that's beyond our own thinking. And so I think there's that two dimensions. It cannot be alive. Like, our vow cannot be alive without us enacting it. It's like the Zendo cannot be a Zendo without us coming and sitting and studying and talking together and hopefully being creative in new ways to be together and use this space. Thinking about inviting Alan Snocky down to have a singing fest. Mm-hmm. Things, you know, things that actually enact that. It has to be made real. Practice has to be made real. If it's not practice. That's what Zazen is. And it's also beyond our knowing or not knowing. So we put that in our pipe and smoke it. Yes.
I was just thinking, there's something that always lightens my heart when I think about things like this. But when we all moved, moving is just sort of an awful experience. Like, nobody wants to pick up a box. Just when I think of move, I don't think of it as a great thing. And when you see a huge group of people come and all we do is move a box or move this in a table and make 3 or 4 trips, everyone just did a wee tiny bit.
Uh-huh.
And to see the whole migration happen in cooperation.
Yeah.
It just shows the power of the togetherness and the cooperation.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a one purpose, like being able to see a vision or what it is that binds people. Mm-hmm. And I always think about how it's just nice to have that level of community, mm-hmm. to just sort of lift each other up in a way that's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it was just move 10 chairs, I don't know, whatever it was.
Yeah.
There's something really beautiful about that.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up again, because I have felt that, we all felt that, and particularly that one day when we were all like crammed into that smaller room picking things up. And everybody did what they could do, and it happened, and together. And, you know, so it wasn't this onerous, grim event. It hasn't been this onerous, grim event. Thank goodness. That would be awful, right? That was a foundation of a new Zendo. It was like, you know? But coming together. Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Yes.
Even tearing up the carpet was a coming together of people and activity and cooperation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was a huge job.
That was a big job.
But mm-hmm. it never got grim.
Yeah.
You know me, I'm just... This is one thing I do get fire and brimstone about, rather fierce about. Bodhisattvas are not grim. They're not meant to be grim. Joyously participate in the world of delusion, which doesn't mean like bubble-headed nonsense, right? It's a good feeling. A good feeling. Yeah.
I'd like to say that during all this time, it's a real good example of seeing Zen practice in practice, in action. Mm-hmm. Because I can really relate to what Tiffany said. I think moving is horrible. I do that so many times in my life, I can't even count them. And it's depressing, it's lonely a lot of times.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, you know, having a big project to do that's messy and icky, and both you and Jacques and everybody else who's helping, I just saw nobody was like, everybody's like, you know, really calm and not stressed out and not, it was a good example for me of just sort of practice in real life, because if it was me by myself, I would have been just like really grunting a lot and just... Uh-huh. Sour.
Sour. That's a great word.
Next
sour.
Time, let's just have Tiffany and Patty do it.
There's no next time. This is our forever home. Anything else? I think we didn't ever find the tea stuff, right? I don't think we have tea this morning.
We're not going to have tea this morning.
But yeah.
We'll have it next week.
Yeah, we'll have tea next week. But this week, so you can have virtual tea. And Paul Arai talks once about... it wasn't Paul Arai. She was talking about having tea with a friend of hers, a nun. But who was it that was a... early Zen teacher, and he would take his students to the park and do tea ceremony with no tea, no water, no cups, no nothing. And he would do the whole thing on a park bench with nothing. So that's our mandate, is to just make tea without tea. Okay?
May our intention equally extend to every being and place with the true merit of Buddha's way. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible.
This is normally where Randy would say, are there two people who want to wash teacups? So,
are there two people who would like to wash the no teacups?
The no teacups, yeah, you can do that. Any other announcements? Yes.
So if you want to join us, we're going to be marching at 1 o'clock. We're going to meet at 1 o'clock in front of the library, probably downtown, probably us and everybody else. But anyway, that's the plan. And then go over to City Hall, where I think there are talks, and then there's a pretty short march to, Loudon Nelson? And then there's more talking. So, if you want to march today, please come join us or do your own thing. I know some of you are doing that, so.
The taiko drummers are starting it off with a performance at City Hall at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Are you going to be with them?
I'm going to be taking photos.
So today will not be the time to see Sue at the taiko drums, but another time.
Do you mind if I put on the well-being board people that are in Washington?
Oh, no, not at all.
For their well-being.
If you can find us one of the papers hanging out, and we have the plaques out.
Yeah, everything.
You know, we packed that box, you and I, that box with the cards and all the chanting things.
But it's
we can find light it out. I remember packing that thing when we were so organized, like, oh, look, this is all the material.
Yeah, but it's in the pile back there. Yes.
I have one last announcement. I think it's the last one. Anyway, our donation box now is in the front room, what would be called the Gaitan room, if it was in someplace else.
Yeah, we may kind of revert to Japanese names for things.
And so our donation box sits there, at least at this point in time. It may get moved, but please feel free to make a generous donation of whatever works for you. And thank you for all your contributions that you've made in the past.
We will be, you know, discussing kind of the final accounting on all of this too, just so that everybody knows what that was, you know. But we've had this wonderful young man, Christian, who is Sandy, one of our Sangha members, her husband Ron. He's Ron's apprentice as a woodworker and does other things as well. So he's been here just, and he studied Buddhism in college, and he's just a total sweetheart. So his practice has been vital in this place.
So I think we, as I recall, two chairs go there, two zabutons go there. The rest of the zabutons go against the wall here with a couple of chairs at the end, and then the rest of the chairs can be stacked in that back room.
So just when you thought that rearranging the Zendo was over, now we can't lose that one. Good. Yeah, we'll, you know, this is a work in progress, so thanks for the feedback, because we're going to see how don't want to become too high church that everybody gets uptight, but we want to maintain the forms as well. Yes?
I was just going to go.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.